Okay, chapter 5, yeah? Now, the person that stands out in this chapter is Enoch, right? Enoch. And obviously, in chapter 5, it also talks about Noah. Noah. Okay, now, why was he so special? Yeah, because he walked with God. I think that's the key, okay? Now, so the main reason for talking about, you know, this genealogy is to help us understand, yeah? Now, without this life of walking with God, no one can, you know, break free from what? From the snare or from the clutches of death. Okay? Now, so you find that death actually holds on to us very tightly. The only way to break free is by walking with God. Now, in the New Testament context, we need to believe in Jesus, and by the forgiveness of sin, we are ushered into the body of Christ. Yeah? And most crucially, after our conversion, we are required to keep ourselves in the Lord. Okay? Now, so if we died in the Lord, the Bible, the emphasis in Revelation is those who die in the Lord, okay, meaning those who keep the commandments of God to the end, then they shall be blessed. It's a blessing. Okay? Now, broadly speaking, there are two types of death in as far as the Bible is concerned.
Gospel of John.
Now, the other one is, if you die in the Lord, if you are God, then you shall be raised unto eternal life. Right?
Very different
destinies and consequences. So, that's right, again, yeah. Now we have, because we are believers of God and the children of God, we have to keep ourselves in God. We must. Why? Otherwise we'll end up losing salvation. Why? Now I just want to help you understand a bit more. Right? With pictorial description. Previously, before our baptism, generally speaking, according to the scripture, there are only two in the Bible. There are only two spheres of existence. One is existing in sin. One we say in darkness, or under the control of Satan. That's the first one. The second one is what? Grace and light. Okay. And what? God. Now, the point I'm making is this. We were here before, okay, and through our belief, the Bible says that according to Paul, we are transferred. Into the kingdom of light. Now, what is required of us today is we must keep ourselves here. Okay? Now, according to the Bible, because people fail to keep
the commandments of God, therefore, what? They return to where they were before. You find that here, if you are here, the end result is what? Spiritual death. Yes? Eternal life. That's the idea. That's why we must keep ourselves in contact. Now we are here. No, so if we do not do anything about spiritual life, we'll fall back here. Okay. What is that? Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
You know, Paul, I think this is a very practical question because sometimes we have this misconception. I think it's better for us to flesh it out.
So, can I ask you a question? Are we now under the law or under grace? Are you sure? Rachel? How many of you think that you are now under grace, Rachel? Oh, you're with confidence? You sure? 100% sure? Are you sure? Okay. You know, this concept actually helped explain what I've just said. We tend to first turn to Romans, yeah? Chapter 6. We look at verse 14 and verse 15, yeah? All right, now, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Okay? Now, this is the idea of being under grace. Mean, if you say you are under grace, it means that sin has no dominion over you. Meaning, you are not living in sin. Okay? Right, now, the next one, verse 15. Now, what then shall we sin? What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. So those who are under grace, they would not sin and they cannot sin and they must not sin. Right now, I just want you to ponder over this very carefully. Yeah? And this is what Paul says to the church at Galatia. Okay, we turn to Galatians chapter 5. Okay, now we read verse 18, yeah? He's talking about those who believe in Jesus, okay? Talking to those who believe in Jesus. I want to read 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the question is, are we led by the Spirit? Hello? Are we led by the Spirit?
Yes.
Are we led by the Spirit? You sure? Okay, let's find out whether we are led by the Spirit or not. Okay, we move on to verse 19, yeah? Now the work of the flesh are evident. Okay, these are the works of the flesh. Now, if we perform the work of the flesh, it means that we are not led by the Spirit. Is that not true? Yeah? Okay. Now, forget about adultery, fornication. Put all this aside for the time being, okay? Now, look at verse 20. Idolatry. Do we have any idols in our heart? Do we have any idols? Your gadget is more important than your Bible. You know, I asked the CYC student, I said, no, we love our Bible more than our gadget. When I asked them questions from the Bible, they cannot answer me. I said to them, I don't believe in you. I'm joking, okay? Okay, now the question is, do we have idols in our heart? Do we have idols? We have lah, yeah. Yeah, who is your idol? Alan Shearer. You see, that's the problem. The legend, football legend. Who is your idol? No idols. Okay, now, look at verse 20. Sorcery. Okay, forget about sorcery. What about hatred? Do you hate? Do you hate anyone? Do you hate anyone? You don't hate. Okay. What about contentious? Contentions? Do you argue? Do you quarrel? What about jealousies? What about outbursts of wrath? What about selfish ambition? What about dissension? What about heresies?
No. So you find that anyone who is led by the Spirit will not do the work of the law. I mean, the work of the flesh, sorry. Okay? Like being angry, you know, being selfish, stuff like that. You find that if we sin against God, we are under the law. Under the law, and we shall be judged by the law, meaning we are no longer under grace. Okay, the concept is the same, the one I have just illustrated. Okay. So if we do not keep ourselves, then what happens? We'll fall back to where we were before.
Okay, so what is our position now? Are we under grace or under the law? Hello? Are we under grace or under the law? Yeah. Not too sure now, yeah. That's why class, yeah. The idea is to help us understand how important it is to keep ourselves in the Lord. We must do our best. Our best with the help of God to keep the commandments of God. Okay. All right. Now we come to chapter 6 now. Okay. Now, obviously, you know the. Verse 1. You look at verse 1. Yeah? Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, the Son of God saw the daughters of men. Who are the daughters of men? Who were the daughters of men? Women. I told women. But here it said the Son of God. Who are the Son of God? Anyone? Sorry? I mean, verse 2, the Son of God, who are they? Angels, Jesus. Guess what? Sons of Seth, yes. From that line, okay? And we come back to, where is it? Chapter 4. Well, we read verse 26, okay? Now, and as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. The man began to call on the name of the Lord, yeah? Now, after the birth of Seth, yeah, we find that this line of God, that people who came from this line began to worship God. Okay? Yeah, now, who are the daughters of men? Descendants of Cain. So you find that, yeah, because they what? They intermarried, yeah? They intermarried. What happened? Obviously God was not very pleased with the idea. Okay? So I think even from the very beginning, God would like to preserve a lineage for himself, a spiritual, a holy, a good one. Right? Okay, let's you think is okay to get married to an outsider? Is it okay? Is it okay to get married to an outsider? No way. From the very beginning, it's quite clear. But we know that the church, yeah? And the situation of the church is that there are always many sisters, more sisters than the brothers. So what should we do? That's why you people need to preach more. I tell you, there's a testimony, it's a true testimony. You know, there was a church, TJC. You know, quite many years ago, I think about when I was still quite young. And they realized that there were so many sisters. And we always say, you know, brothers and sisters should get married in the Lord. And this is what we heard from since young. Always, we've been told that we need to get married, whatever. Okay, so and the church discovered that there were more sisters than the brothers, right? Now, most of the brothers, you know, when they grow up, they're married, you know, and their sisters who remain unmarried. I think, you know, one time the church pray that God will open a way for the church, especially the sisters in the church. You know, I remember. One time, yeah, there was a baptism that, you know, took place. And most of the baptismal candidates were men. And they were eligible men. Marriageable men. Yes. So God opened it. That's why, you know, we know the importance of getting married in the Lord, but we also need to do our part to preach the gospel and to pray about it. Right? Well, obviously, and we always say that to the brothers, yeah, since there are not many brothers in the church, then the brothers should not willfully marry people who are not of the same faith. Yeah? Okay. We come back. Now, I want you to look at some of the, verb. Okay, it says saw and God see. Now, look at verse 2. Then the Son of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves. Of all whom they choose. This is how, you know, people of the world choose their partner or whatever. Yeah, they only look at the outward beauty and they forget about the inner beauty. But for Christian, what is important is what? It's the inner beauty. Okay, I want you to read there's a parallel, not exactly the same. I want you to look at that. What is it? Chapter 3. Genesis. Now, look at verse 6. Verse chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. And he ate. This is how it started also. She saw. Right? Now, we find that the seeing here is without the power to distinguish, to draw a line of distinction between what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. What? And this is similar to the one mentioned in chapter 6, when the Son of God saw the daughter of man. So, okay? Now, you find that if you have been given wisdom, if you have the wisdom of God, you would know how to choose. Whatever you see, you know how to choose correctly. Right? Now, when you see something, let's say, if you are a God-fearing person, you know that this is not acceptable in the eyes of God. Then you would not do it. You would not, follow your senses or whatever. But on the contrary, if God is not in your heart, what you see, and so far as it pleases you, then you will just do it. Right? So, now, it's important for us to be to be spiritually discerning. So whatever we see, we can make a judgment, correct judgment, based on the Word of God. Right? So we'll not fall into the trap. Right? Now we come back to chapter 6. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5. Now here it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. Okay. Now verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now you find that every single behavior or deeds, it was seen by God. Everything that man do. Man did at that point in time was seen by God. God saw. That's why we said the Bible says God is an all-knowing God. He knows everything that we have done. Okay, now obviously you can make a comparison between verse 2 and verse 5. Yeah, now here what man saw is outward, and verse 5 what. When what God saw is inward, within the person. Okay? The character and the behavior of the person. Alright, now, I want to ask you a question. Now, think about this. Let's discuss it. Verse 6. And the Lord was sorry. What does it mean? He was sorry. Is it because he did not know that man would sin? What? Why was he sorry? Anyone? Why was God sorry? Why was he sorry? Why was he sorry? Yes. Disappointed. Okay. Now the question is, did he know that man was sin? Why was he sorry? Why was he sorry? What do you call it?
Have you heard about this theory called process theology?
It means some people propose that, you know, God actually did not know everything. Yeah? And his knowledge about his creation comes about when things happen. When events in life, you know, being unfolded. That's the idea. Process theology. And he said this is one of them. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to show you where is it? We turn to 1 Samuel. Let me see. I think it's chapter 15.
Now first we need to draw a distinction between the relenting of God and the relenting of man. Or God feeling sorry and man feeling sorry. I think they are two different things altogether. Now I want you to read verse 29. And also the strength of Israel, this refers to God, will not lie nor relent. Okay? For he is not a man that he should relent. Okay? In according to 1 Samuel, God does not relent. Now I want you to look at the where is it? Jonah. Is it Jonah? Wow. Okay, we read chapter 3. Verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented.
Now, according to 1 Samuel,
here it says he does not relent, but here he said he relented. How do you explain this?
What? Shall we phrase it?
God is not sorry. And here he said God was sorry. If you rephrase it, make it similar.
Contradiction. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? How will you reconcile it? Anyone? Sorry?
Mercy.
God shown his mercy on me. Okay. Which one? Jonah, what about the first one? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's correct. Then. What I'm going to do is, you know, when the Bible talks about God does not relent, it means that He is a principal God. Right? Now, but we still have to explain this here in Jonah. Right? Now, God being a principal God, there is a principle with God, there is what a principle with God, which allow God to respond to the situation in man. Okay? Well, simply.
If there is a principle of God which allows God to respond to the situation of man. If I'm a sinner, then God would. If I turn from being a sinner, then God would.
You get what I'm saying? Okay, we turn to Psalms. Chapter 18. We read verse 24 to 26. Liam, you want to read for us? Psalms 18, verse 24 to 26. So you find that God, you know, always respond to human situations. But broadly speaking, when the Bible says He does not relent, He is not sorry, mean that He is a principal God. Right now, in the case of Noah, he was sorry. Why? Because he felt sad about what man has done. And he was going to punish them. It's not saying that, you know, God didn't know about the future, you know, He like had made a mistake in creating man, you know, this kind of thing. No. Is that clear? Alright? Yes. I can't hear you. What's wrong? Okay. Is that okay? Just to show you another example, yeah. No, I want you to read. Where is it? Turn to Matthew. Where's the example that talks about asking for forgiveness? Where is it? Chapter. Let me see. Okay, chapter 5. Let's look at this example. it's not exactly the same. I think it's chapter, let me see. Okay, we turn to chapter 18, the unforgiving servant. Now, from verse 21 onwards, yeah? Now, you know that there was a servant who was not able to repay all his debts. Yeah? And we know that upon begging the master has forgiven him. Yeah, has forgiven him. Now, when this guy went out and he saw a friend who owed him a little money, then what happened? Yeah, he seized hold of him and threw him into the prison and demanded that he must pay all his debts. And the master heard about it, he was furious. Now if you read verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, he should pay all that was due to him.
Okay. God, initially, the master has forgiven him already. Forgiven. Yeah. Master forgiven the slave. Right? Now, when this slave came out being unforgiving, yeah, then what happened? God, you find that the master responded differently. Practically, it's like saying that, no, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. That is the principle of God. It's not saying that God is a changing God. What? So God is a principle God. And what one aspect of his nature is that he would always respond to different situations based on his principle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Let's pray.
Okay.